Satam, you are. Punanti, sanctifying. Bhu, of the planetary system known as Bhu. Bhuva, of the Bhuva planetary system. Suva, of the Sva planetary system. Ta, that the water. Na, of us. Punita, purify. Ami Vagni, who destroys sin. Sprishatam, of those touching. Atmana, by your constitutional position. Bhuva, the bodies. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Kronchadweep worship with this mantra. O water of the rivers, you have obtained energy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you purify the three planetary systems known as Bhuloka, Burvaloka, and Svarloka. By your constitutional nature, you take away sins, and that is why we are touching you. Kindly continue to purify us. Please repeat. The inhabitants of Kronchadweep worship with this mantra. O water of the rivers, you have obtained energy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you purify the three planetary systems known as Bhuloka, Burvaloka, and Svarloka. By your constitutional nature, you take away sins, and that is why we are touching you. Kindly continue to purify us. Purport. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:4, Bhumi apu nalo vayu kam mano buddhir evicha ahankara iti yame bina prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. The energy of the Lord acts throughout the creation. Just as heat and light, the energies of the sun, act within the universe and make everything work. The specific rivers mentioned in the Shastras are also energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people who regularly bathe in them are purified. It can actually be seen that many people are cured of diseases simply by bathing in the Ganges. Similarly, the inhabitants of Kronchadweep purify themselves by bathing in the rivers there. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So read this again. Apa purusha viryasta punanti bu buva suva tana puni tami vagni sprishatam atmana buva iti. The inhabitants of Kronchadweep worship with this mantra. O waters of the rivers, you have obtained energy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you purify the three planetary systems known as Bhulok, Bhuvarlok, and Svarlok. By your constitutional nature, you take away sins, and that is why we are touching you. Kindly continue to purify us. Hare Krishna, good morning. Now, we have a guest here. Welcome. Now, you're in class yesterday. How much do you know about the Hare Krishna movement? Have you read Bhagavad Gita? Or?
No?
I'm starting with it.
You're starting with it, okay. Because it's just so I know where to start, you know, because... But if you know some things already, that's good. Sometimes, especially with a section like this, sometimes we kind of talk over people's heads, and we use lots of fancy words that nobody understands, even devotees don't understand. So we have to be careful to communicate things nicely and things that are relevant for our audience. It's a very important part of communication. So I will try and do that for everybody's sake. So here we're in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a very nice description here of the structure of the universe. It's a pretty far out structure, to use an old fashioned term, pretty far out description. It's something I personally really like reading, although it's it tends to be a little repetitive. We're hearing about all these different islands at the moment. It's something, it's something that is useful for us. Now the question is, why is it useful for us? At first glance, especially if somebody just parachuted into the temple and heard this, and parachuted out, then I'm not sure how much they would, right? I'm not sure how much they would really understand. They might appreciate it and think, wow, that's really amazing, and gosh, that's an unusual concept, but. What does it mean? What relevance does it have for me? So, as always, when preparing for a class, usually I make a whole list of things to talk about. And then when I read the verse and purport, I go, wow, I didn't notice that the first time I read it. I don't know if anyone else has had that experience with Prabhupada's books. Yeah. Actually, this is a nice point that Krishna was given a benediction that his teachings would always be ever fresh. So it's a tricky thing. Every time we read the scriptures, we find something new. And we think, I didn't read that. Did I read that? I didn't notice that before. Anyway, so we have this opportunity to notice that again. Some new things. So here, the residents of this planet or this island are praying. They're very pious living entities who live in a place like this. It's a very beautiful place. And they're praying to Krishna in the form of water, in the form of Varuna. And they're asking him to take away their sins. Through the act of touching the water, they say, your waters are very powerful. And by touching your waters, we will become purified. So please continue to do that. And this is, for us, one of the reasons also why we read books like the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we want to be purified, that we want to be cleansed of our misconceptions. But why do we want to be cleansed of our misconceptions? Why do we want to be purified? Some people want to be purified so that they can enjoy. Right? If we become free of sin, we can go to the heavenly planets, and there is no birth, no death, no old age, no disease. It's a nice place. Actually, there is death, excuse me. But not in the way that we die. It's different. And so there's this idea, let me go to heaven and enjoy. And actually, the specific, or one of the specific benefits of going to heaven is there's no bad karma. You can't do anything bad there particularly. By engaging in your senses, by us engaging in sense gratification. So some people want to go to heaven, and to do that they need to become pure. So why do we read the Srimad Bhagavatam? Is it because we want to go to heaven? Is it because we want to enjoy? Right? Without restriction, without bad karma, without any worries. Well, no. And although some people might say, if you presented that to a regular audience, right? If you went home and said, would you like to enjoy unlimitedly without any bad effect ever? Can you imagine anyone going, no? Most people would say, yes, of course. That sounds like fun. When are we going? But that's not why devotees want to be purified. That's not why we want to be free of sin. Devotees want to be purified so that they can love Krishna. Actually, ultimately, that's the goal. And by loving Krishna, we will be with Krishna, whether we're in the material world or whether we're in the spiritual world. we will be with Krishna, we'll be happy in his service. So that is why devotees ultimately want to be purified. I can speak for myself, actually. A lot of my motivation is to do with I don't want to suffer. That's where my level is. But that's not the only thing. At least hopefully that's not the only thing that's on our minds. That we don't want to suffer and we want to. At least we should be adding that. And we want to serve Krishna. Because we know that in the material world, even if we go to the highest planet in the world, and these are residents of higher planets, it's not something that we'll see easily from Earth with an earthly body. But even if we go to a higher planet, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, right? From the highest planet in this world down to the lowest, all the places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So although there's this idea we can go there and enjoy and not suffer, at some point our time will run out and we'll have to come back. Not everybody knows this. There's a lot of people, worshippers, within the, especially particularly within the Hindu tradition, Hare Krishna, Jai Shishu Radha Gopinath Ki. A lot of people within the Hindu tradition, of which this tradition is a part, Vaishnavism, that think that they have this idea of going to heaven and enjoying. But what's not really taught or not emphasized is that it's temporary. It will not last. Even if we go to these planets, to these beautiful places where there is no disease, then no anxiety, practically no. I mean, it's sort of like practically no disease, practically no anxiety. Then still we have to come back. The Earth planet is the middle planet. Here it's mentioned three planetary systems. So there's the higher planets that are described here, these huge mountains and huge oceans of different substances. And this is the Earth planet, the middle planetary system. So in heaven you enjoy, on Earth you enjoy and suffer, and then there's the lower planets that are suffering. Actually, there's very little enjoyment in the lower planets. It's mainly suffering. So there's this wheel of karma, wheel of samskara. And devotees know, sometimes when we introduce the idea of karma, we say, well, if somebody does something bad will happen to them. And some famous people, a person lost his job because he said this. It was about disabled people, so people who have like a handicap, they don't have legs or whatever. And he was asked, or somebody knew that he was into karma and reincarnation, and they asked him, is this because of their karma? And he said, yes. And it was all over the newspapers in England. It was a huge scandal, because basically he was saying it was their fault, right? So be careful with this this particular thing. Anyway, he was a famous person. He was a manager of a football club. Don't remember his name. Anyway, but he lost his job. He was you rascal, how dare you say this? So we have to be careful when we present the ideas of karma and reincarnation. Partly because it can be upsetting for people to hear this, and that's natural, it's upsetting, because they don't have the full picture yet. We parachute into their lives, tell them something and parachute out, and then they're like, what? You know, they don't know what to do with it. So it's really better to focus on the positive when we preach to people. What can they take out of it? What's the benefit? So we're actually not interested in the cycle of birth and death, the cycle of karma, reincarnation. That's not, for a devotee, that's not our purpose. What our idea is, or what our hope is to break this cycle, right? That we're in this world, we're suffering. And that we don't want this to happen to us, and we don't want this to happen to other people. And that's the compassion of devotees. That people go either, you know, we have visitors today. People come here, and we can talk to them and talk to each other about how to improve our lives. And the idea is not to repeat the cycle, not just to go to some heavenly thing, to go to the Bahamas or Hawaii, or, you know, become a very, because we can talk about it in earthly terms, right? Becoming very rich, people want to do this because they it's the main thing at the minute. Because then if you have money, you can buy practically anything, right? You can buy good looks. Well, they think they can. You can have plastic surgery, pay for that. You can buy a beautiful place to live, go to Hawaii or the Bahamas or somewhere nice like that. People think that they can be happy and enjoy like this. But actually, as in the heavenly planets, the enjoyment here is temporary. It doesn't last. And even if somebody becomes very rich, doesn't mean they're going to be happy. There's an example of one very, very nice man who I think he's a billionaire. His family, they're called the Hindujas. Very, very rich family from India. And one of the Hindujas, he's a big sponsor of ISKCON, of this society in England and in other places, probably in India as well. And he had a son, and his son died. He had one child, was a son, and he died. Now, for Indians, for anybody, but for Indians particularly, they're very attached to family, they're very attached to their children, and especially boys. You know, boys are important for them because they're like the head of the family, they're making the money, that's their, you know, culture. And the boy died. He might even committed suicide. I don't remember now, it was a long time ago I heard the story. Anyway, horrible. I mean, what a fate. Very tragic. It's a good family. They do support devotees. They do support Krishna conscious activities. And so for him, in some ways you could say, well, maybe it's a blessing, you know, that because it helped him become more Krishna conscious, now he comes to the temple. He's much more involved in spiritual things. But he's a billionaire. But all the money in all the world can't stop someone from dying. You know, it can't stop us from dying. So what we need to do, it's not that we shouldn't be practical and get a job and, you know, make money, that's not the point. But we need to not just make a deposit in material bank accounts. We should make deposits in our spiritual bank account. Because as our deposits accrue, we start to go from the negative. I'm sure I started in negative account with Krishna. As our deposits in our spiritual bank account accrue, then we are able to see the world as it is. And that's one of the reasons that we read these descriptions. We'll continue to read about the planets of the universe. And it's an interesting ability of devotees, especially pure devotees, to see what's really going on. Sometimes even, I can speak for myself, even when we're very new in Krishna consciousness, when something happens to us, we're kind of caught up in the event. We take care of the cows in the temple. I help take care of the cows in the temple. And the other day, we have these electric fences, and the other day I touched the live wire. And I might have to, anyway, I touched the live wire and got a shock, and it's quite, be careful with this electric fence. It's not just a ting, it's like, it's really quite strong. And we have this really strong electric fence. So anyway, I touched it. The first thing I did was go, ah! And then I went, I don't even know if I said Krishna. I'm not sure. But it was such a shock. I was just, literally, it was such a shock. It was really surprising and upsetting. I have this pain, electrical pain in the body. So whenever this happens to me, it always reminds me, I say, well, what am I doing? Because at the time of death, I don't want to be going, ah! Right, because death can come like that. You step off the road, big truck coming, you go, ah! And then poof, and then you're gone. So I don't know where people go. You know, they say whatever we think of at the time of death. If I'm thinking of a big truck, there's a planet of trucks, or I become a truck. But anyway, there's a truck driver, Kanchana truck driver in Valley. So, it's a warning, and it's also an indication for us of where we're at. Right. It's not a happy. I'm never happy when it happens. When this happens, I think, oh no, why didn't I say Krishna? So they say this, that our bhajan or our Krishna consciousness is tested at the time of death. It's tested when difficult things happen. Sometimes we find that even with devotees, when something difficult happens, they blame Krishna. We have this habit of saying, oh, it's Krishna's mercy. You could also say it's Krishna's fault. So it's an easy, it's not a big step between those two things. So This is something we really need to avoid. By reading the scriptures, there's these wonderful books that talk about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita is actually a good place to start with Krishna consciousness philosophy, and it's a good place to end as well. It has a very condensed, is this a word that's condensed, succinct, simple, short, there we go, has a very short explanation of how the universe works and is very universal. Srimad Bhagavatam is more, after someone reads the Bhagavad Gita, then they'll read the Srimad Bhagavatam because it's more complicated. There's stories like this, and it's good to have a framework of how. One time I was trying to draw the universe for somebody, so it's really a framework. So you draw the framework of how things are, and then we can start putting in the details. So when one time I was giving a tour in the castle, and we went around the whole property first. You know, we do the video show, and then we come in here in the temple, see the deities, and we end up in more or less. We end up on the castle roof, having a look at the view, which is a very nice place for people to look and see what is Radhadesh. So I asked, does anyone have any questions? There were a few people there. And one of the ladies looked at me and she said, what's the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness? And I was like, oh, it was really good because I thought, I haven't done that. You know, I've been around, it's taken an hour. I've gone around the whole castle and I haven't explained what is the basis of Krishna consciousness, because that's where you have to start, right? And Prabhupada was saying, what's the basis? So the basis is, we're not this body. And I was talking to this woman. Okay, so I said, this is the basis. We're not this body, we're a spiritual soul. There is a God, and if we worship him, we'll be happy. Okay, nutshell Krishna consciousness. Forget about the planets and the universe and the whole thing. Right, that's basic Krishna consciousness. And the look of relief on her face was quite strong. She was like, phew, finally something I can understand. Right? And I think for us as well, that we have to remember to get back to basic things. What are things that we can understand? Especially in day-to-day life, you know, we're walking around. How do we practice Krishna consciousness? We read these books, but how do we practice it? So we're very lucky we live in Radhadesh. There's a lot of nature here. I don't know if anybody else likes nature. I personally quite like looking at trees and grass and cows, and it's just a very, very nice thing to have as one's surroundings. So one time, the problem is I feel guilty about this. I think, I shouldn't do this because it's not directly spiritual. So I think, you know, I'm enjoying nature. So how to deal with this? So one time I heard a class from, I think it was Shivram Swami. It might even be in his books, to be honest. My spiritual master, he writes these very nice books about Krishna. So he was talking about Radha and Krishna and when they're together. Now, Krishna has a bluish complexion and Radharani has a golden complexion. Now, these are significant colors, they're not random. Blue is the color of enjoyment and gold is the color of love. Woo! That's nice, isn't it? I thought, wow, far out. Okay, cool. So that's why some people say it's great. Why is Krishna blue? Well, because he's the supreme enjoyer. That's why he's blue. Or bluish. It's not, you know, not really blue in our sense, but you know, bluish. So, but the thing is, when Radha and Krishna are together, what do you get if you combine yellow and blue? Any artists? Green. Yellow and blue make green. Now they're yellow and green maybe, but it's like a sapphire green, very beautiful green. So when we walk outside, if we want to know how to be Krishna conscious, look at the trees, look at the grass, and think, oh look, this, the combination of Radha and Krishna, we have Radha and Krishna here, is blue and green, which is, blue and yellow, which is green. So we can see Krishna. And in Bhagavad Gita, there are many, I mean that's a sort of, I was trying to deal with nature, so. It's one way of looking at the color of green. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in several places talks about how to see him in nature. Arjuna actually asks a question, how can I always be aware of you? Because when we're in the temple and we're hearing about you know, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's easier to focus on it. When we're reading the books, it's easier to focus. When we're chanting, it's easier to focus. But what about when we're, you know, taking the train to London? What about, right? What do we do when we're in the middle of a city, or what do we do when we're taking a walk around the countryside? How do we remember Krishna then? So I have a Bhagavad Gita here, and he talks about it in the 7th, 9th, and 10th chapters of Bhagavad Gita, particularly the tenth chapter. So I'd like to read some of the examples that Krishna gives. He says these are just some examples. They're not everything, but there's some prominent examples of how you can see me in nature. So I'll just... Now, he's talking to Arjuna, so he gives some transcendental examples of some examples that we wouldn't necessarily understand. Like of the demigods, I am Indra. If you're walking around, you might not think about Indra. Although he produces rain, and it rains a lot in Radhadesh, so you could think about Indra like that. And Krishna says, of lights, I am the radiant sun. Among the stars, I am the moon. So this is one way. So although we don't always see the sun and the moon, but when there are no clouds, we can see the sun and the moon. We've had a few nice days. So Krishna is the sun, and the sun is also yellow. So Radharani has a yellow complexion, golden complexion. Lord Chaitanya also has a golden complexion. So this is ways of remembering Krishna. Also the moon at night. It's very beautiful. And we quite regularly see the moon at night in Radhadesh. Of the senses, so he continues, of the senses I am the mind. So we have experience of the mind, a very strong thing. If anyone ever tries to meditate, chant Hare Krishna in Japa, they will meet their mind. I had an experience of this one time. I was on an Ayurvedic retreat, treatment in the south of India. And for, how many weeks was it? 3 or 4 weeks, I wasn't allowed to go outside. Apart from you have a room, you have a landing, and you're not allowed to go beyond that, not even upstairs or like that. And the reason was because you can get sick. And I did get sick, actually. I got a cold because I went outside. Anyway, for 4 weeks, I was more or less stuck in my room with my mind. Now, for a little while, it's possible to read, but anyway, I don't know if anyone's had Ayurvedic treatment, but after a while, the eyes start to become very tired. It's very difficult to read. And unfortunately, I didn't bring enough classes with me, so I couldn't listen to much. And my roommate wanted to sleep, so I couldn't chant much. So it was me, my mind, and the wall, basically, a lot of the time. So... Has anyone had that experience where they're stuck for a period of, like they got sick or something and they were stuck? Yeah? Yeah, you had that broken your hip, right? You had that experience, Prabhu? Used to. Not for a long time, but for some time, right? What was it like? Horrible. What was it like, Prabhu?
Great.
It was great. Okay, did you enjoy meeting your mind? Is he nice?
I don't really recall it like that. I was kind of like, I mean, apart from the pain.
Right. But were you able to distract the mind by doing other things?
Yeah, I think so. I don't recall it like being horrible. I mean, right. I had somebody really gave me nice shine and things like that.
Okay, that helps. Yeah, no, that helps. Yeah. Right.
I don't know, I was just reading and sleeping.
Right, reading and sleeping. I couldn't read and I couldn't sleep. Rats. So, and I was thinking actually if we can engage our mind, it's very nice. So sometimes it's not possible. So I was, to go back to the Ayurveda retreat, I was stuck in not a very nice room either. It wasn't like it was pretty. Stuck in a room by myself with my mind staring at a wall. And Madhu Gopal, you were able to distract your mind. You're very fortunate. A lot of the times, I don't know if other devotees have this experience, if I'm suffering, what I do is I distract myself, right? Something bad happening, I'll go and eat something. If something bad's happening, I'll go and talk to somebody. If something's bad, you know, I'll try and distract myself from it. The problem is when we can't distract ourselves, and I think what on this retreat, what it reminded me of actually was old age or illness. When I had the also, it wasn't as bad though, I could sleep, but I had this thing this year where I had a bad leg, and I was stuck in bed for some time. Slightly different, but because pain has a wonderful way of focusing the mind. It's a great distraction. But anyway, so being in a situation where we can't distract ourselves by going somewhere, by, because, I don't know, if you're sick, people don't visit you very much. I don't know if you've, they don't come, not very much. They, you know, they're busy, so, and even if they do come, you're tired, so, you know, it doesn't really work. So what I was thinking of when I was in this Ayurvedic place is, what is going to happen to me when I'm old? Because I met my mind. I don't like my mind. My mind's a rascal. He's thinking, he's always thinking, let's go and do this and mess around over here. And I'm like, no, no, we have to think of Krishna. And they go, no, 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 it'll be really good. Come on. And it's like, no, I don't want to think about the Beatles. I don't want to think about romantic relationships. I don't want to think about, I want to think about Krishna. And he goes, no, but it'll be fun. I'm like, no, come on, give me a break. So, you know, I said, I've got this, I don't know, anyone else has this kind of mind. Or let's, I don't know, let's play a game, let's play cards. I mean, come on, you know, no, I want to think about Krishna. Or I'm really bored, oh God, I'm so bored. So the mind does this, right? He's just nagging the whole day. So I had this nagging mind the whole day, and I didn't have any toys to play with, I didn't have anything to show him, I didn't have any friends to talk to. So I couldn't bring him some distractions. And it was really quite a shocking experience. You know, after 4 weeks, I don't know, it was like a month, it was full day and night for 4 weeks with my mind. And I didn't like him very much. He wasn't a good someone nice to play with. So I realized that, well, maybe, or I started thinking about, is this what it's going to be like when I'm old? Is this going to be like if I get really sick and I can't go anywhere? And I'm dependent on people coming and feeding me, and I, you know, I can't even cook or do anything interesting, right? Cooking is a great distraction. So what will happen? And this is something we're very lucky with being amongst devotees, because they remind us of this. When something happens, like I touch the electric circuit, I get a shock, I go, ah, I'm in a room by myself with my mind going, oh. These are reminders for us about, and they show us where we're at. They show us how spiritual we are, how focused we are. And if we're really able to bring our mind to spiritual topics at the time of death, because death isn't a joke. A few people have said to me, I'm a scared person, I like get scared easily. So a few people say to me, I'll say to somebody, you know, I'm afraid of death. And they say, oh, you don't, no, they're trying to make me feel better, right? Oh, you don't need to be afraid of death, it's not that bad. And I'm like, you know, actually I said to somebody once, okay, get me a rope and a knife and we'll see how you're not afraid of death. Right? Because death doesn't mean, you know, you're here and then you're not here. That's not death. Death is a process. Right? And it takes some time. It's not like it just happens. Right? It's very, very painful. I mean, I don't mean it. I'm an ethical vegetarian. I wouldn't hurt anybody. Just to bring the, you know, you don't hurt people. But, you know, it's a process that we have to go to. And sometimes I wish I would be hit by a truck, because then it's quick. You know, but then am I going, ah? You know? So what are we going to be thinking of at the time of death? What are we going to be focused on? Getting back, this is why we need to read. This is why we need to focus our mind on Krishna. This is why we need to bring, when we're chanting, we bring the mind back. Keep practicing. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Arjuna says, Krishna tells Arjuna to control his mind. It's in the 6th chapter. It's about the discussion about yoga. And Arjuna says, but the mind is turbulent. It's more difficult to control than the wind. Right? How can you control your mind? And then Krishna says, yes, you're right, but it is possible by practice and by detachment. I think it was practice and detachment. So we shouldn't be too attached. Like sometimes we can become disappointed with ourselves. Right? We want to be pure. We want to love God. We want to serve to the best of our abilities, and then boom, Maya turns up and says, hey, look at me! And we go, oh yeah, you, I remember you. Yeah, that's just what I wanted. And we get distracted, even if whether it's mentally or we actually go and do something. But we shouldn't become disappointed to the point where we stop trying. You know, there's always, there's a very nice, what was it? Was it a poem? I think it was a poem. There's a story, a very nice poem about a boy who's trying to run a race. I don't know if anyone's seen it. And he really wants to be first, and his father's in the crowd watching. And so the boy's running, and he's doing very well, and at a certain point he trips and he falls. Right? And so everyone's like charging past him, and his father says, get up, keep trying. And he says, okay, so he kind of thinks, well, there's no point, but okay, I'll try. So he gets up and he runs again. And again, I guess it's slippy, again he falls. And he thinks, oh, and there, you know, everyone's finished by now. They're already gone. And he's like, oh, no, I'm totally embarrassed, you know. And he gets up again and he runs. It's because his father's there. So his father's encouraging him. Come on, son, you know, you can do it. You can make it. You can get there. And he gets up again. And again he falls over. And now he's like, you know, he's covered in mud. He's completely humiliated. The race is over. And he might as well go home. His father says, no, get up. Get up, you can still make it, you can still get there. So as devotees we can also, and when he comes in, there's a huge applause from the crowd. Actually this has happened in, I think the Olympics or something like that. One of the athletes, they got this is a poem, but something went wrong in his leg, the muscle ripped. And he was doing a long, you know, one of the long track races, and he didn't stop. He kept going. He'd been training for years. You imagine, you have one chance, you're in the Olympic Games and your body breaks, you can't, it was agony. But he didn't stop, he wanted to at least complete it. So, and what, it was a nice story actually, his father was, it's the same thing, his father was in the crowd, and his father got onto the track and put his arm around his son and you know, like a crutch, and they went around the track, I'm starting to cry, anyway, they went around the track and they finished, and at the end, when they finished, I mean, everyone applauded when the race was over, but when they finished, everybody just got on their feet and was just cheering, right? So this is not, Krishna is also like this. He's not like, you know, it's not that human beings are kind and they want to appreciate someone's effort despite all of the difficulties and obstacles and pain. Krishna is also cheering us on, and other devotees are also cheering us on. That if we have a problem and we fall flat on our face in the mud and it's embarrassing, and don't just lie there. We shouldn't just lie there and think, oh, well, it's all over now. I'm just going to stay here in the mud. We should get up and keep trying. And if we keep doing that, then the result will be there. The world is imperfect, especially in Kali Yuga. I mean, I personally feel very, very fortunate to live in Radhadesh. It's such a beautiful, peaceful, lovely place. But occasionally I'm going to be going next week. I have to go to outside Radhadesh, outside the temple, and going to London. Going to go through London. You know what London's like? It's not nice, you know. Especially somebody, I mean, I'm not saying I'm particularly Krishna conscious, but living in the countryside away from all of the advertising, and we're lucky. Because as soon as you hit London, you hit the material world big time. One time, I hadn't been anywhere for a long time, and I went to London, and there's these advertising on the buses. And there was I couldn't believe my eyes. I don't know how people tolerate this. On the back of the bus was a naked woman. Naked, nothing. I mean, you couldn't see it because she was standing in a certain way. You couldn't see it. She wasn't wearing anything. So I was just looking at this. I was just like, I can't believe it. And then I looked at the, I was like, I was so shocked. And I looked at the title. And the title said, "Would you like to look good naked?" Does anyone else notice what's wrong with that? It was an advertisement for cosmetic surgery, you know, that somebody gets a knife and cuts your skin and does something with it and makes you look better. I was just like, I won't tell you what was on the next bus. It was worse. You know, it was worse. I looked at the next bus and I was like, I gotta get out of here. Where's the plane out of here? So this is a confrontation, and it's how, you know, it's not surprising people have problems in an age like this. You know, all you do is walking. I'm just walking down the street. I'm minding my own business. I'm not thinking about sex or drugs or rock and roll. I'm on my way to the temple. I want to go and see Radha Landanishwara. You know, we have deities there. I want to go and see them. And then, bam! bang, you know? It's like, would you like to look good naked? It's like, no. How much will it cost? It's very expensive. Anyway, wow. So, and then there's the internet. I mean, if I was in charge of the world, if I was God, I would cut off the internet. Isn't it? Apart from Krishna conscious sites, that's okay, no problem. But because we have a few. But, I mean, all you have to do is type some The Beatles, and you know, there you are. Beatle loco, you're in heaven. If you're a Beatle fan, I'm not a Beatle fan, but, you know, you can go anywhere in the world, you can do anything you like right in your room. Right? It's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster for the consciousness. Of course, some devotees, they're very self-controlled, and they only go on spiritual websites, but I have a problem. I'm very curious. I'm like a cow. You know, cows are very curious. If something new, like if they're in a space and there's something new there, they always go over and have a look at it. They'll spot it immediately. As soon as there's something different, they immediately go and look. What's that? Mainly because they want to eat. They're hungry. They want to eat something. They're like, is that food? Is it dangerous? What is it? Can I have a look? And they go, you know, they follow their nose. So I'm a little bit like this on the internet. You know, I click on, like, especially Facebook is like, I mean, some of my friends, bless them. I won't tell you what I was looking at last night, because one of my friends put something up for one of my school friends, old school friends, and they put something up, and I thought, that looks really, what is that? And I clicked on it, and I was like, it was really funny, but it was nothing to do with Krishna. So, and I won't tell you because it's just silly. But, so this, we have to be curiosity. In English they have an expression, curiosity killed the cat. They have this in Dutch, right?
Yeah.
No, they don't have this, right? Curiosity killed the cat. Curiosity would kill a cow, I'm sure. You know, if you want to catch a deer, you know, or a cow, if you ever have this urge to catch an animal that's a prey animal, lie down in the field with a colored flag, and they'll walk over. You know, like Red Indians used to do this when they were hunting. They had their spear, they lie down in the grass, and they put up a flag. And the deer will come over. They're like, there's a flag? What is that? So we have to be careful that in our spiritual life that we don't behave like a deer, that we don't behave like a cow. We go, something pretty, what is that? And we wander over, you know, all innocent and helpless. And then, you know, something scary jumps up and goes, bah! You know? So we shouldn't be like this. We need to be careful and a little discriminating in our activities. And learn. I mean, at least we should learn, right? The first time we go over, there's a flag. Oh, what is it? We go over and look. There's a nasty hunter. We run away. We survived. Whoopee! So that's a good, you know, that's a good result. Next time there's a flag, don't go. You think, there's a flag. There could be somebody, something unpleasant there. I'm not going to go. So this is, it's not first-class intelligence. We can hear from scriptures about the nature of the material world and what happens to us if we perform certain activities. But at least don't do it again. You know, at least we should learn from our experiences how to protect ourselves and how to protect each other. And that's, I'll just end with this thought and then I'll ask if there's any questions. But one of the huge benefits of living in a community, in a spiritual community, is that when we're doing something silly, when we're doing something that could hurt us, either spiritually or material, there are people who are around who can tell us. Right? Some people don't like that. They find that very confronting. And it is very confronting, you know, especially when they're saying, Kanchanavali, you have a problem, and I'd like to tell you about your problem. Like, immediately someone says something like that, I'm like, no, don't do it. So they'll say, you know, what could be something? Kanchanavali, you're a bit silly. You need to be more serious in your spiritual life. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I really don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. So, but as we, if we hang around the devotees enough, we start to learn that actually they have our interests at heart, at least hopefully. And my experience is when I know someone has my interests at heart, they're actually worried about me. They're not thinking I'm going to tell a what, you know. Not like they want to make themselves better than me. If somebody does that, then that totally freaks me out. But if I know someone has my best interests at heart, and they give me a practical idea for solving my problem, right? Because sometimes people say, you've got this problem, and then they walk away, and you're like, God, well, I can see I've got the problem, but what do I do about it? You know, like today. If I wait 20 years and I chant enough and I become purified at heart and, you know, I get to love Krishna enough, then maybe it'll go away. But they mean this week. They don't mean like in 20 years. They mean now, because they don't like it that I'm doing that. So if somebody gives me, so this is if you ever see me doing something that you don't like and you think it's not good for me, and I don't mind you telling me, that's fantastic, but please give me an idea about how I can work on it or what I can do with it. And I'll give a short example. One time, so I make a lot of noise when I eat. It's not nice. And people had mentioned it to me. I mean, I'm 41 years old. I'm big, right? So I think this was in my 30s. So someone, over a period of time, people had mentioned this to me when they were sitting. Some people are sensitive to this. And they would say, you know, can you stop making that noise? It's not nice. And I'd be like, you know, you're in the middle of eating and you're thinking, I mean, how? So one time, a very good friend of mine said, you know, it's disgusting you eat when you eat. And I was like, oh, no, not again. I'm a bad person and I can't change it. And they said, you know, if you close your mouth when you chew, then you don't make as much noise. I was like, whoa, nobody ever told me that before. Close your mouth when you chew. Thank you. Practical instruction. Very, very helpful. So it's not that we should go around telling everybody everything all the time. That's not. But if something's disturbing other people, or is really a big problem, it's very nice if people can come and help us. And that's the my experience of being in Radhadesh and other temples, that we have that opportunity. So we can take advantage of that. And if it's too difficult, play like a duck. You know, if someone comes and says something and it's too hard, you don't have to challenge them or tell them, make them wrong or anything like that. You know, duck? It's a little bird. Usually they're about this big, and they live in water. They live in water, but they don't get wet. So why don't they get wet? Wax. Yes, they have wax on their feathers. You pour water on a duck, it doesn't get wet because the water just flows off the duck. So if somebody tells us something we can't digest, we can make like a duck. Say yes. Let the water come. That's fine. And it just flows off us, makes a little puddle on the floor. We can appreciate it. We can go and look at it later. It doesn't have to be such a, you know, like an arrow in the heart where we go, oh, I'm a bad person. Oh, no, I'm a disaster. Anyway, like that. So I'm going to stop there. If anyone has any comments or questions. Rasala. Prabhu.
Yes, I have several things to say actually, but there is certainly one thing because
okay. We
don't have too much time. But
no.
You explained that you have explained that the goal of a devotee is to stop the samsara.
Yes. Well.
But actually, the sadhus say it doesn't matter if you're in material world or spiritual world. What is important is your consciousness.
Yes.
So can you explain, because I have always some hard time to explain that and even to understand myself.
Right.
If it's important or not.
Right. Yeah. So I understand the question, that we're told that, I was saying, that the purpose of Krishna consciousness is to stop samsara, the cycle of birth and death and karma and reincarnation and pain and suffering, and to go to the spiritual world. But then senior devotees also say that it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in heaven or hell, you can be in the spiritual world, as long as the consciousness is good. Yeah? As long as we're Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter where we are, right? Okay, good. So this is a very good question, and it brings up an important point of context. And it brings up an important point of the level of advancement. So for someone who is not an advanced, who is in Maya, we would say, who's in material consciousness, they need to think about improving their consciousness. You know, because the point is, if we're Krishna conscious, we are with Krishna. The material world is the spiritual world, right? We don't notice that. A spiritual person doesn't notice any difference between matter and spirit because there actually isn't any difference, right? Now, the problem when we're conditioned, we can't see spirit. We can only see, practically we can't see spirit. We can only see matter. So we're kind of like say, like in prison, we're kind of blocked off from that spiritual consciousness. We're stuck here. So to break the cycle of, they're actually the same thing. Breaking the cycle of samsara means becoming Krishna conscious. And it doesn't matter where your body is. Does that make sense? Now, to explain this to other people, and this is also the thing we were talking about yesterday, about how much do we tell people, you know? Normally with a person, you don't want to, normally my experience is the more you say, the worse it gets, right? What we want to do is give them at least one thought, one practice that they can take away with them, and then, right? Ladies are told to do this with men. If a lady has a problem with her husband, she tells him something small, and then she keeps her mouth shut. She doesn't keep, don't nag your husband. Anyway, this is for the ladies. Don't nag your husband. Don't nag men. They don't like it. Their ears go closed. So this is also with when we're preaching to people, that people's ears close at some point, and they won't hear what we're saying anymore. They just get upset. So what we need to do is give them something short. So you might want to say, the purpose of Krishna consciousness is to break the cycle of samsara, or the cycle of birth and death, right? And then let them go away and think about it. And then when they come back and they're a little bit more developed, they'll go, but hang on a minute. I heard from somebody else that it doesn't matter where we are. Then you can tell them the next bit, right? So is that okay?
Yeah?
You got it. Yeah. Anything else? Prabhu.
I have a comment to the next question.
Good.
Sorry.
Yes.
In a way that it's
okay.
I listened to a couple of Pakistani lectures the last few days, and one lecture stuck in my mind where he gave an example of spiritual world and the difference between spiritual and material world. So
right. The
example is that we're all in the spiritual world, and it's everything revolves around Krishna. It's his part, his show, one man show. Sadness, he sold drinks and he sold elephants and candies. But we serve him with love and devotion, and he reciprocates, so we are extremely happy because on reciprocation he has a little more, so he goes to heaven. But there is an option we can look away, and in the dark corner of the spiritual sky is a black and white TV with the screen that goes off and electricity sometimes. The sound is it's all about that. Very liquid. It's all about that. This is our choice. If we choose to look at God and Krishna, then we all in happiness and pleasure. And when we choose to look away from Him, it's all about that. I don't think we buy this example.
Yes.
Just have a decision. Where you want to be.
Yeah, this is the difference between matter and spirit. Is Krishna is in spirit, and in matter we don't see Him. We turn away from Him.
What's the difference? It's samsara. But again, we can be self-consciousness. We are in the world without our consciousness. We don't have to be in this.
No. Yeah, we don't have to be here. That's the point. Don't keep suffering. I'm a little worried I'm going to come back as a cow. At the minute, hanging out with the cows, I'm like, I don't want to be a cow. Really, or an animal, or anything like that. It's a good experience. You had something else you wanted to add?
No, it's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah.
All right, anything else? No? All right, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.